We are looking at Teach Us to Pray. I want to remind you that we have some books at the back. We're not selling those books. We are giving them away. The book title is Spending Time Alone with God. And it really is the result of many years of my seeking the Lord and the Lord teaching me. And then I put those things down in print so that we can be share those with other people. I have been on the road for the past 10 years teaching and preaching these truths of the presence of the Lord and prayer and how we can get to know Him more intimately. So we have the book back there. It's free for you to take. And we also have the 3-minute timers. All of that is there for your perusal. You can take it home and enjoy. If your timer doesn't work, then come back and pick up another one that does work. And use that to discipline yourselves. There are 6 disciplines of prayer based on the Lord's Prayer that we'll be looking at. And this morning we are taking a second glance at that initial part of what Jesus taught us concerning prayer. In that Sermon on the Mount, Jesus included a teaching on prayer for His disciples. And He said, when you pray, go into your closet and close the door. And when you have closed the door, then pray to your Father in secret. But this morning I want to bring you a second part of that being still. It comes from Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. I grew up in a large family. My family went to church every Sunday. We had a pew. We didn't own it, but we owned it. It's funny because the Elversons sit in exactly the same pew that we sat in every time we got together at church, and the whole family. And Mom had rules for church. You don't play around in church. You don't monkey business in church. You don't whisper in church, and all the other rules that go along with it. So we were lined up in that row, and Mom made sure we were still. So she would say, shh, be still. So I want you to turn to somebody and say, shh, be still. You're not doing it very loud. That's what be still is. But Mom had this other weapon that she used in her repertoire to keep us still. And that was the rule that we had for our pew. If you did anything wrong during church, that meant sometimes that if you took the pew envelope and ripped it apart and did some drawings on it and you were making noise ripping, she would snap her finger. And when she had snapped that finger, you knew you were getting it when you got home. There's no squirming out of it, no going to the altar afterwards and trying to get mercy. You were in trouble. Be still and know that I'm God. God is our Heavenly Father, but there are times when He says, we need to be still. Stop wiggling around. I remember my son was hyperactive, as I am, and he was about 3 years old, and we wanted him to take naps, because little boys need to take naps, and old boys need to take naps. But our little boy didn't like to take a nap, so we had sent him in the bedroom, put him in there, and he'd fool around, play around, an hour would go by, and he'd still be playing around. So I got to the place where I knew I had to go into the bedroom with him, lay down with him, and put my arm across him to hold him still. And I would hold him there. It would take about 10 minutes to hold him, and he's wiggling, he's stirring, and then finally you could hear him start to breathe heavily, and he was asleep and took his nap. Be still and know that I'm God. And sometimes God needs to do that with us. We are hyperactive, aren't we? We're living in a hyperactive society. We run constantly, and we never accomplish those things that we really want to do. And especially in the spiritual realm, we don't accomplish what God wants us to accomplish. I read a wonderful illustration of this in the book called Building People by a pastor named Bubna. And he tells a story of a farmer. And see if this isn't you in your life. There's an old story about a farmer who one morning decided to plow the south 40 acres. His tractor needed oil, so he started for the barn to get it. But on the way, he noticed that the pigs hadn't been fed. Near the corn crib was a pile of sacks, reminding him that the potatoes were sprouting. On the way to the potato pit, he passed a wood pile and remembered that the kitchen stove was burning low. While picking up wood, he saw that one of the chickens was ailing, and so he dropped the wood to doctor the chicken. And so it went till the end of the day, and he still hadn't oiled the tractor or plowed the south field. Isn't that like us? We got so much to do, and we go from one thing to another. And when God says, be still, and he says every day that we should have a closet of prayer, a place where we go, and a time that we go alone with God, that is the last thing we want to do because we're so busy. We push it aside and say, that's not important. God's not monitoring that. But the Lord wants to tell you this morning, he is monitoring that. He is snapping his finger and saying, be still and know that I'm God. I want to ask the question and hopefully answer the question this morning. Why should we be still? Why do we need to obey this command? Why do we need to find a pause in our life? Why do we need to stop being so distracted and have a quiet rest? We have a number of scriptures that are in your bulletin in the notes that we have. John 10:27, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and follow me. And the answer, the short answer to this question, why we should be still, is this. We need to be still so we can hear the voice of God. We need to be still so we can hear the voice of God. Most of us have the idea that God has a booming voice. And if you ever heard his voice, you would think it's like thunder and it shakes the earth. And that's certainly true when God speaks to the earth and speaks to all of creation. But when he speaks to you and me, he doesn't use his booming voice. He uses his still, small whisper. See, the Lord has emphasized that as his children, Jesus speaks to us. God speaks to us by the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 16, Jesus says, I have much more to say to you, more than you can bear. But he, the Spirit of truth, when he comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said, the Spirit will take from what is mine and he will make it known to you. That is, God says, I am speaking and I will continue to speak through the Holy Spirit, and I will speak to each one of my children. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. From the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 30 says, and you will hear in your ears a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, when you turn to the right hand or when you turn to the left. And last of all, in every gospel, there's a repetition that Jesus gave to this emphasis. He that has ears, let him hear. And he says it in each of the Gospels multiple times. And then in the book of Revelation, multiple times he says the same thing. Anyone that has ears, let him hear. All of that saying, God is speaking. He's whispering. He's wanting to tell us things. He wants to draw us close to himself so that we know him better. As a matter of fact, if you took Romans chapter 8, which is a favorite chapter of the Bible, which talks about the Holy Spirit and his ministry to us, most of us just know Romans 8:28, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. But the whole chapter is about the Holy Spirit. And as I read through that, I realized that every time God mentions Spirit with a capital S, he means whispering spirit. And you can go through and replace that word spirit with whispering spirit, and it will bring new meaning to the gospel or to the message that Jesus Christ lives in us by his Holy Spirit. His whispering Holy Spirit lives in us. And God loves to whisper to his children. And he will not shout, thank God. He will not shout at you. He will not snap his finger, but he will whisper with that still small voice of the Holy Spirit. Now, many of us have not been trained to listen to the voice of God. As a matter of fact, I was on a prayer retreat and I was teaching pastors some of these principles of prayer. And several of our men were gathered together. And as I often do, I was talking about my personal experience with the Lord and how the Lord communes with me and whispers things to me. And I mentioned the fact that the Lord spoke to my heart about something. And one of the pastors just jumped up. He got right in my face and he says, there's no way God speaks today. God speaks only through the Word of God. It ceased with the apostles and God doesn't speak any longer. There's no whisper of the Holy Spirit. And he just went berserk. And I thought, what is wrong with you, fella? And he ranted and raved for a while. And fortunately, another pastor was there who was a younger, less mature pastor, and spoke up and said, "Brother, you sound like the idolaters of Psalm 115, where the Lord says they worship idols, and their idols have ears they do not hear, they have eyes they do not see, they have a mouth but they do not speak. And you've made God like an idol that does not speak." My friend, God is not an idol. He has eyes, he sees, he has ears, he hears, he has a mouth, he speaks. And the same passage says he has a nose and he smells. God is God, and he loves to whisper. I've mentioned before that my son works for ExxonMobil. He's a manager. He is got a PhD. He's a brilliant young man. Brag, brag. Okay. But as I was teaching these principles and gave the book to him, he came to me struggling. He said, "Dad, I don't know about this being still thing. That's the first principle in your book, but I'm struggling with that. I really don't know how to get still." And when you talk about hearing God's voice, he says, "Dad, I don't think I've ever heard God's voice. I've never heard God's whisper." Now, his wife is a newer Christian, and she spoke up and she says, "Andrew, I hear from the Lord all the time. Every morning he speaks to me. Every morning he whispers to me. Every morning he gives me directions." And she tells all the wonderful stories of how God leads her. And Andrew says, "But I've never heard the whisper of the Holy Spirit." So I leaned close to my son and I said, "Andrew, there's only two reasons why you don't hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Number one, if you're not saved, you're not going to hear his voice until he convicts you of sin and brings you to Christ. And I know you're saved because I led you to Christ. And the second reason is because you're not quiet enough to hear his voice. You're too busy and encumbered with a lot of other stuff, and God is not your priority." Well, Andrew went away and he was doing this Bible study, actually taking my book and doing it with guys at the plant where he works. And he came back one day and he said, "Dad, this thing about hearing God's voice," he said, it's not an audible voice, is it?" I said, "No, it's not an audible voice. It's an internal voice. It's inside." And he says, "Is it kind of like I get an impression from God? Like I get a prompting from him, but not necessarily words?" And I said, "You're getting it, Andrew. You're getting it. That's exactly it. You need to be sensitive to that. The Spirit of God is moving. He's calling you. He's urging you. And listen carefully and spend time alone with him, and he's going to begin to whisper to you." And so it is that with every one of us, God is whispering constantly and telling us things we need to know. He's inviting us to come closer to him. But most of us are so busy, like the farmer. We go from one thing to another, but we don't have time to be still. Now, I want to give an illustration that kind of ages me. Not that I'm old, but it ages me. When we were growing up, we had a television. It was black and white. It was an old television, and the tubes back in those days got dim after a while. And ours was an old TV set, and it was very dim. We couldn't even watch TV in the daytime because it was so dim. But when Mom and Dad would go out to go grocery shopping, and they'd be gone for an hour or two, we'd go to the bedroom and get all of our blankets and take the blankets and put it over the TV, and all of us would huddle in the dark watching that black and white TV, and we could see it because we closed out everything else around us. And that's what God wants us to do. Sometimes we don't see and we don't hear God because there's too much brightness, too much attracting us, and we need to close all those other things out. We also had, or at least my aunt had, a shortwave radio. And I loved that when I was at her house because it's a gigantic radio and it had all the different stations on it worldwide. You could pick up stations from around the world. And so we would take that and we'd turn those dials very carefully and you'd hear, you like my sound effects? And then you start to hear some garbled talk and you go, and we tune it very carefully and we'd end up picking up the BBC or some other station around the world. But you know what we had to do? We had to tune in. We had to tune in to the right station. We had to be very careful and very precise to find out that message was coming across to us, but we weren't receiving it. Why? Because we weren't tuned in. Now, back to our television set. Our television set had antenna, two little wires that went out like this. And often we couldn't get reception because we lived out in the country. So we would take aluminum foil and bunch the aluminum foil around the antenna. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You're old, too. They put the aluminum foil around the antenna, and then we move the antenna this way, move it that way, and the static would go away, and then you get a clear picture, and you say, hold it. Okay, hold it there. Hold your foot up in the air and your arm up in the air. We got connections. Okay, we can watch the TV program. You know, it's kind of like that with God, too. You have to get on His wavelength. You have to get into the Spirit. You have to put yourself in a quiet place so that you can tune into what God is saying. He's always speaking at any moment and any time to anyone who is a believer. He is still whispering. He's whispering to you, but you're not hearing it because you need spiritual hearing aids. What? Spiritual hearing aids. That is, the hearing aid that God gives us is this key: be still and know that I'm God. You know, we do kind of get stopped up ears spiritually. And when we're running too fast, we don't hear what the Master is saying. And so we need that closet of prayer. We need that quiet time where we can get really quiet and listen for His voice, because He does speak. But you know, there are other voices in the world besides the voice of God. There's a tremendous amount of voices that are echoing in our ears. This is taken from Dr. A.B. Simpson, the founder of the Christian Missionary Alliance, which came out of the Presbyterian Church. Can I have an amen? All right. Dr. A.B. Simpson wrote about being still in his busy life. I mean, this guy had everything going on. And he learned about being still, and he said, I thought this would be a rather easy matter, so I began to get still. But I had no sooner commenced than a perfect pandemonium of voices reached my ears, 1,000 clamoring notes from without and within, until I could hear nothing but their noise and din. Some of them were my own voice, some of them were my own questions, some of them were my own cares, and some of them were my very prayers. Others were suggestions of the tempter and the voices of the world around me. Never before did there seem so many things to be done, to be said, to be thought. And in every direction I was pushed and pulled and greeted with noisy acclamations and unspeakable unrest. It seemed necessary for me to listen to some of them and to answer some of them. But God said, be still and know that I'm God. Then came the conflict of thoughts for tomorrow, its duties and cares. But God said, be still. And as I listened and slowly learned to obey and shut my ears to every other sound, I found after a while that when the other voices ceased, or I ceased to hear them, there was a still small voice in the depths of my being that began to speak with an inexpressible tenderness and power to my heart. Isn't that great? Great busy man of God. That I had to learn the secret of being still so that I could hear the voice of God. Let me mention just a few things. They're in your notes and you can see those later and think about that. But there are a lot of noises out there in the world. There's the noise of a busy mind. I have a busy mind. My mind thinks about seemingly 100 things at the same time. I get up in the morning and my brain is fresh and I sit down to have my devotions. My first impression is to make my to-do list. And I have to-do lists that give birth to other to-do lists, which in turn give more to-do lists. And so it's unending. As a matter of fact, I can go back in my journals and see that I have list after list after list, some of them 24, 25, 50 items that need to be done. You know, if you're going to start your day with your to-do list, you're probably not going to get still. Because your priority is getting things done, not listening to what the Father has to say to you. And so we have to push those things aside to say, my busy mind needs to take its place. It needs to be brought under subjection. Peter says, gird up the loins of your mind. Put a girdle on your brain. Discipline your brain to do what God wants it to do. Paul says it this way, that we should take captive every thought to the captivity of Christ. That means when we have this quiet place, we need to learn to sweep the cobwebs away, all of those to-dos, all those screaming things for our attention, and leave them behind so that we can be still. Then there's the voices of your conscience. Your conscience is always accusing or excusing you in some way. There are other people's voices. Do you know you have people's voices in you? You have people's influence. You have people's opinions. I have a first grade teacher in my head. Did you know that? Her name is Miss Green. God forgive her. When I get to heaven, I'm going to forgive her. But it's really hard down here. I was in that first grade class, and of course, I'm ADHD, and nobody knew about that at that time. I was busy, and I was doing pictures and drawing and not listening. And she gave a test, and she passed out the test to everybody with their grades on it, gave it all around the room. I was the last one to get mine, and mine had a great big X across the whole page. And she put it on my desk in front of the whole class, and she took her finger and thumped me on the head and said, "Think, think, think, think." So I've been thinking about her ever since. You know, that leaves an indelible imprint on your brain. When you're doing something wrong, there's that accusing finger that comes around and says, "Think, think, think, think." Then you have your parental voices, the voices of your parents who have your rules. My mom had 1,000 rules, and they echo in my head all the time. And I won't go into all of the rules that she had, but some of those are the things in churches. Sit still, be still, and don't monkey around. Or mom always said, be sure your sin will find you out. And she always said that God would tell her what we're doing wrong. And we found out that was very true, that mom always knew what we were doing wrong. Then you have internal voices. Do any of you have internal voices? I'm talking about schizophrenic voices. Now, don't shake your head on that one. And multiple personalities. You've got various personalities inside you. They're clamming. Those are the crazy thoughts. Do you ever have crazy thoughts? I have crazy thoughts every day. And I have to chase those crazy thoughts away. Get away from me. That's crazy. You know, we need to discipline ourselves to get rid of those thoughts. And then you have the world's thoughts or the world's voices, the world's advice, the cultural norms, their views and their philosophies that are squeezing you into this mold. All of that's going on inside your brain at all times. And finally, there's the devil, if we didn't have enough trouble. There's the devil and demons that whisper their temptations to us. So you see, there's lots of voices going on in our heads, some of us more than others. And we need to quiet those voices. We need to silence them. And we need to discipline our minds to hear the voice of God. So what does the voice of God sound like? I told my son it's not an audible voice, although there are times when the voice is audible. I remember in the Grove City Alliance Church, we were having a great deal of difficulty and conflict that was in the church, and it was like demons were everywhere, and there was one family that hated me, and they made it very clear as they sat there in church looking at me. I'm trying not to look at anybody so you don't think I'm thinking you. But they kept daggers coming out of their eyes. And I told my elders, I said, one of these days, I'm going to need you because I can feel the opposition of Satan going on when I'm preaching. And I start to stumble. And one of these days, I'm going to say, elders, I need you. And when I do that, I want you to stake the four corners of the room. And I want you to stand there and plead the blood of Jesus and claim the victory of Jesus. Well, one of my guys was not a real sensitive spiritual guy, although he was an elder. And that day came when I was overwhelmed with that oppression. And I said, elders, I need you now. And I just stood there for 10, 15 seconds quietly. My elders scattered, three of them to three corners. The fourth one was missing. Well, eventually he wandered in and took his position. Later on, he told me what happened. He said, Pastor Dick, I was out by the nursery, and it was two hallways down and far off, and we don't have an audio system that was going back there. He said, I couldn't hear you at all. I didn't know what was going on. But he said, I am not a woo-woo. Do you know what a woo-woo is? A Pentecostal that hears voices all the time. At least that was his interpretation. He says, I've never heard the voice of God. But he said, when I was back there by the nursery, God spoke, or somebody spoke out loud to me and said, Dick needs you in the sanctuary now. And he said, it was an audible voice. And he said, I'm not a woo-woo, but now I'm a woo-woo. He heard the voice of God. How does the voice of God come? Sometimes it's a sentence, like with my friend, with my elder friend. It was a sentence that maybe the angel of the Lord spoke or the Lord himself. I need you in the sanctuary right now. Sometimes it's one word that gets repeated in your brain over and over again. I was sitting in my study early on in my ministry, and I've always had these disciplines. from 8 o'clock in the morning till noon, I was in my study, prayer closet. I would have time of prayer and devotion, and then time for study. And nobody's to disturb me. Marilyn knows. Don't enter my study because it disturbs my thinking and I can't accomplish my purpose. So she knew that. I'm sitting there one day, and about 9 o'clock in the morning, this thought comes into my brain, get in the car and drive. And I said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm here disciplined to study and prepare for Sunday and prepare for prayer meeting and prepare for my Sunday morning service, my Sunday evening service, and my Sunday school class. A lot to do. And I said, I'm not going to do it. And the word came back, drive. And I said, no, I'm not going to do that. Not going to do that. Drive. Finally, the third time it came, and very strong, get in the car and drive. And I said, okay, Lord, if that's you, I'm going to do it. But I don't think it's you. So I got in the car and I started to drive. I'm just getting in the car and I'm starting down the street. We're 9 miles from Indiana, Pennsylvania. And I said, well, I'll do that direction. So I start that direction. I'm thinking, okay, why am I driving, Lord? What am I doing? And the whole way I'm thinking, I'm crazy. I'm hearing voices and I'm listening to voices that make no sense. I get into Indiana, the first traffic light, I stop and my car stalls and it won't start again. And I go, this is what I get for listening to voices. So I get out, lift up the hood. I don't know anything about cars. I lift up the hood. I'm tinkering. Guy in the gas station across the street comes running over and he says, what's wrong? And he says, I don't know what's wrong. I don't know anything about my car. So he tinkers with it. He gets the car running. And in the process of doing that, he introduces himself. And I introduce myself as the pastor of the Climber Church. And he says, oh, my granddad goes to that church. And as we talked, he said, you know, I used to walk with the Lord too, but I'm backslidden. And I don't know the Lord anymore. I don't walk with Him anymore. And so I witnessed to him and invited him to come to church. The result of that is he came back to church and got right with God and started walking with the Lord Jesus. And I go, okay, that's why God was speaking. Get in the car and drive. Now, I don't encourage you, if you start hearing that, to get in your car and drive. You need to discern whether it's the Lord saying that, or it's your wife, or it's your desire for McDonald's milkshake or something. Sometimes it's an image or a picture that comes to mind, that God gives you an image of something that is to be. We were ministering in Brazil. My colleague, who is now at the Grove City Alliance Church as a pastor of seniors, we did a prayer walk all around this area where high-rise apartments were going in. And we were praying that God would plant a church there. We didn't know how it was going to happen. We didn't have money to make it happen. But we were praying over that. And I remember standing over that area. And as I prayed, I saw a vision of a church on the key corner that was right next to a bus stop. I saw everything about that building. And it impressed me. So I went home and I actually drew it out in my journal, what that looked like. I never thought more about that. The years passed. The church was planted. Our daughter died. We ended up coming home from Brazil. We spent 25 years here, and then we went back to Brazil, and there was a church on that street corner. And when we pulled up, just driving in from the airport, we pulled up, and my colleague Steve says, there's the church. And I thought, oh, my goodness. It's exactly the church that I saw in that vision. Everything exactly as I saw it, and I never shared it with anyone. Sometimes God gives you an image of something that's to come. Sometimes He gives you novel ideas. Sometimes He gives you warnings. I was traveling along the turnpike, and I don't like to stop on the turnpike, especially if it's not a rest area. But we were traveling along the turnpike one day, and we saw a car that was pulled off the side of the road and a lady standing next to her car. And I don't usually stop to help poor ladies. This is a little lady. I didn't know anything about her. But as I'm driving up, the Spirit of God said to me, pull up and try to help her. You already know I don't know mechanics. I don't know anything about a car. So how am I going to help? Well, I got over there and she had a flat tire. So I got out of the car and we had a conversation. I fixed her flat tire. She was telling me the woes of her world and her husband was a terrible husband and how they're going to get a divorce and everything. And before I left, I said, let me pray for you because I believe there's a reason why God stopped me to stop and help you. And so I prayed for her that day. I left. I never thought any more about that. 40 years went by. And just a few years ago, I got a letter from a lady. She says, I don't know if you remember me, But you stopped to help me on the turnpike. And you talked to me about Jesus. And talked to me about my marriage. And I wanted to let you know that God answered that prayer. And God restored my marriage. And thank you for stopping. Ooh, I look at that and I go, do, 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 do. Some wonderful things happen when you listen to the Lord. Now, I know our time is about up, and I got 100,000 stories to tell you. I'll tell you one about my mom, because my mom always heard the voice of the Lord. We knew that as children, and she said, be sure your sin will find you out. And she said, God always tells me when you're in trouble. Well, I was dating a girl in another state, and my brother and I did a double date, and we went to a Youth for Christ rally 2 hours away. So we drove to the Youth for Christ rally. After the rally, we go out to eat at one of the restaurants, and then we go home, and it's probably about 11:30, almost 12 o'clock. We got a two-hour drive to go home. I'm in this little Falcon, which is a six-cylinder, didn't have much power, but I'm in that, and we're going down these two-lane roads, and I'm trying to get home as fast as possible, and so the car in front of me is going real slow, and I decided I'm going to pass this guy. So knowing the roads out in the Toledo area, they're all straight, so I could see where I was going, and I pull out, and I start to pass him. Well, as I'm passing him, he speeds up. Don't you hate that when that happens? He starts speeding up, and around a bend came another car, a big truck. It comes barreling down at me, and I'm going, I'm trying to get past this guy, and this guy is speeding up, and I don't know what to do. So I take the gears, I throw it into third gear and try to get more power, and I rev that engine. My brother's there. He's screaming like a girl, going, we're going to die! We're going to die! We're going to die! And I put it up into that gear, and there's big ditches on either side, and I'm thinking, we are going to die, and I just breathe the prayer, Lord, help us, and I squeezed by that car, pulled over just in the nick of time. But both of us just about had a heart attack. And my brother turns to me and he says, Mom's going to know. I said, nah, there's no way she's going to know that. We get up the next morning. My younger brother is sitting at the kitchen table eating his cereal. We're pouring our cereal and he's giggling. And I said, what's the matter? And he says, oh, Mom freaked out last night. I said, what do you mean? She freaked out about midnight. She got everybody up. We were in bed. She got everybody up. You need to pray. Dick and Mike are in trouble. We need to pray. Ask Jesus to save them. They're going to die. And so she had everybody praying for 15 minutes. And then she said, okay, God's answered. You can go back to bed. Do, 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 do. Moms know because God speaks to their hearts. I close with these thoughts. Have you yet begun to hear the voice of God? Are you listening for His quiet whisper? I don't care how old you are as a Christian, how new you are as a Christian. If you have received Christ Jesus as your Savior, His Spirit dwells in you, and He doesn't camp there to be silent. He's there to be the whispering Holy Spirit who whispers to you, because God wants you to know how much He cares and loves you. Three things I'm going to challenge you to do. It's not in your notes, so you got to take your notes or put it in your brain. Number one, there's a 3-minute timer back there. If you don't have one, pick one up. Start being still with God using the 3-minute timer. 3 minutes is not long, but when you're trying to be still, it is long. But use that every day in a prayer closet. Go somewhere alone and flip that baby over and just say, Lord, help me to be still. And then be quiet enough to listen to the Spirit of God as He ministers to you. And sometimes He'll give you a song. Sometimes He'll give you a scripture that comes to mind. And sometimes it's just a quiet whisper of an affirmation of how much He loves you. That's one assignment. The second assignment is this. Every week, and I suggest it be on a Sunday afternoon, since you'll never decide which day to do it. Take Sunday afternoon at least once a month and go out to a park somewhere and sit still for 20 minutes or a half hour and listen for the voice of the Holy Spirit. Ask God to talk to you during that time. And again, you'll hear a whisper, you'll hear a scripture, you'll hear a song, but God will put His thoughts in your mind. Finally, once a week, I suggest, once a week, it's a suggestion, not a command. Be still is a command. Mine are suggestions. Once a week, turn the television off at 9 o'clock and spend the next hour reading your Bible and being quiet before the Lord. You can put worship music on it. You can do anything you want during that hour, but give that hour to God. And you'll watch how your life transforms, because the Lord loves to talk to His children. And He only speaks. We only hear Him when we're quiet enough to listen. Heavenly Father, help us to be listening people. Help us not to run our own lives and run at our own speed and never take time to be alone with You. You taught Your disciples to be still. You taught us in creation that one day a week we're supposed to be still. And Lord, You said in heaven we're going to be still. So teach us, Lord. It's hard things to learn. But I pray that You'd get us out of the busy culture and put us into the Spirit and into a position in which we can hear the voice of the Lord Jesus. And we ask You to do this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're closing with a song that we've used over and over. I think it's 541. It's 541 in the garden. We're just singing the one verse, I come to the garden alone. 541. I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own. And we share as we tarry there. None other has ever known. As we close, let me say this. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, you've never received Him or invited Him to come in your life, this morning you can do that right where you are. Just say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner and I need You. I don't hear Your voice. I ask You to come into my life and save me from my sins. Write my name in heaven and speak to me. And He will do that. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the Word of God that's effective. You said it will accomplish what You purpose, and it will do what You sent it to do. I pray that this morning. Go with us now and grant us the benediction of the Holy Spirit, who speaks and whispers to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a great day.